We have today in Luke's Gospel a very challenging message, perhaps not easy to figure out at first hearing, and indeed among all the Luke passages, this one is studied quite a bit by scholars to try and figure out just what exactly was Jesus trying to say. So this morning, a brief little summary anyhow to help us understand the kernel of the point, and there's a couple that are very important for us to pray with today on this 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Jesus is telling a story. He's giving an example to his hearers to help them understand something very important about the nature of the kingdom and about salvation. And as he tells it, his hearers would have known right away what he was talking about. Meaning's lost on us a little bit more in this day and age. Stories about a steward. Would have been very common back then for landowners to have big chunks of property or perhaps estates or things that were under their control that they left in the hands of stewards. Those who took care of it for them, or they went off and did other things, or took care of other properties, or traveled around. So in this particular story, Jesus says, here's a story about a steward who made a mistake. He was not a good manager of his master's property. He messed up. Master found out, and said to the steward, prepare an accounting of what you have done, because you can't be my manager anymore, my property manager, you're fired. Get your things in order before you go. Steward, in Jesus' story he's telling, and again, in that culture, they would have known about things like this, would have made sense to them as an example. They were around people like this all the time. They worked for them, whatever. Steward says, what should I do? How am I going to take care of myself now that I'm out of a job? So he calls in all the people who owed his master money because he's a property manager, and what he basically does is he reduces all of their debts by a certain amount, likely his own cut of it. Because back then, part of how you were paid as stewards is you got a portion of the property you were managing for your own particular pocket. That's just how it worked in the system. So he cut out his own portion in the short term, depriving himself of some money, so that later on when he got fired, those people he was in good with now would take him in their own property or into their own homes. He bought himself a future, basically, by giving money away in the short term. So listeners of the story would have understood what Jesus is trying to say. That master, the Lord, as he's called, of the manor, came home, found something was wrong, and this person responded with efficiency and rapid speed to figure out how to reorganize his life to get himself a benefit later on. Point of Jesus' story to his listeners, do all of you who hear me preaching in your midst, do you react the same way, just as efficiently? Are you reorganizing your life now that the Lord, the authentic Lord, the Lord of the kingdom, has come in your midst? Because if you're not, you're going to have a problem. So the steward is held up as an example of a person who reacted quickly and efficiently to the news of the master's arrival. Like all of us should do at the news of Jesus' arrival, we must reorganize our lives accordingly. And to pick up on a theme that the community of Luke would have known about pretty easily because Luke talks about it a lot, the theme of rich versus poor, the extra point of the gospel is this. Jesus is trying to say this steward utilized his resources, his material wealth, in such a way that in the short term he lost some, in the long term to gain an eternal or a different dwelling place, a new place to live when it was all over with. To our listeners, to his listeners, the same thing Jesus says about our wealth, their wealth, any wealth, you have to use it accordingly. It can take possession of you if you're not careful. Be like this man who gave something up in the short term with his wealth to get himself a longer-term dwelling. In our case, too, give away your wealth, Jesus says. Manage your possessions well. If you do, you'll get an eternal dwelling in my Father's kingdom. That's what's going on in this rather obscure story. It's basically, how does wealth get managed? Does it manage us, or do we manage it? As it says at the end of the gospel very clearly, you can't have two gods, Jesus says. You can't be greedy and godlike. You can't worship money and God. They are contradictory. Let God be God and money be at the service of God. Let money and wealth be at the service of the kingdom and not the reverse. That's the simple message of the gospel. Which leads us to Amos. Powerful reading from our prophet Amos. We're going to hear from him actually two Sundays in a row in this cycle. Interesting how that happens in the lectionary this year. Amos is writing in a time period a long, long time ago, about 750 or so years before Jesus comes about. And he's writing in the northern kingdom at a time under King Jeroboam II of great prosperity for the territories, but not prosperity for everybody. Because what's happened in Amos' time is that he realizes that there's an upper crust of society, a small handful who are doing really well and controlling everything, and everybody else is losing out. The poor are getting trampled upon, and dignity is being violated at every single turn. So God sends them this great prophet, this bold voice in a very decadent culture, and he says to them all, you are in serious, serious trouble. And what's the picture he paints? He speaks, Amos does, out loud, the voices, the whispers going on in the business owners, so to speak, the merchants and the tradesmen of the time. He says, you know what you're doing? You're waiting for the moon to be over with so that we can go back to work. What does that mean? You want the Sabbath to be done so the businesses can reopen again. You don't care about the worship. You don't care about the religious festivals. You just want to make your money. What are you going to do? You're going to diminish the ephah and add to the shekel, which means you're going to basically take the money used for exchange and you're going to modify it to benefit you. You're going to cheat. You're going to take the currency and corrupt it so that the poor lose out and the wealthy scales are heavier in the trading system. It's a famous trick of ancient traders to make money for themselves. We're going to buy the lowly for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse, the waste of the wheat, we're going to sell that too, like selling grass that's worth nothing for a profit. But what a haunting phrase. The poor man for a pair of sandals. In other words, Amos looked out and realized in the territories of Israel, there was slavery. People were being bought and sold like property. And imagine witnessing at the city gate where trade took place, you know, one man saying to somebody else, I'll take those sandals for my servant. Here, you can have him. I'll want your sandals. He watches this as an act of negotiation and commerce being happening right in front of him. Amos is angry. He says, you cannot treat people like that. People are more than a pair of sandals. You can't buy the lowly for silver. People have rights, and God notices. And how does Amos end this particular piece of his section? He has many like this. He says, the Lord has sworn he will never forget what you have done. Amos says, God is paying attention. These are haunting readings. And the reality is that we can sometimes fall under the impression that this is from a different era. Things like this don't happen anymore, but the fact is they do happen. Money is worshipped all the time when it gets the better of us. And when it does, dignity is undermined and people are treated poorly. We're going to hear at the end of Mass about our friends in Haiti. Haiti is very much like what's going on in this reading of Amos. It is a messed up place. It's a place where their own countrymen have taken the heights of society, so to speak, in commerce and trade and kept so much for themselves while leaving everybody else in absolute squalor. There is slavery in Haiti today. People are bought and sold for a pair of sandals, almost literally. There's trafficking, there's kidnapping, there are ways to get people into crime when they're only 8, 9, 10 years old. They start them off on a pathway of corruption. It's dog-eat-dog survival. This is their world. What they say today is not an exaggeration. I've seen it in person. So in the face of that, we're so blessed by the scriptures, by our Lord who comes to us to open our eyes to people like Amos, or St. Luke, and through Wallace and Bill, and a video we'll have in a Mass. These things are all gifts from the Lord to say, you don't have to live like this. Individual people really do matter. And how we use our money really does matter. If you hang on to it for yourselves, Jesus says, it's going to rot you. But if you give it away, you use it to help other people. If you manage it according to the gospel ethic, well, then it will be a great benefit to yourselves and to many other people, too. So use your money wisely, Jesus says. Give it away when you can. Help the poor with it when it's necessary. And do all you possibly can to recognize that in our world, the kind of things Amos is talking about that happen in Haiti every day and in our streets in America too, they cannot happen if we're going to have a just society and a just world. Haunting message. But this scripture passage is here 2,700 years later because we realized it is the truth. It is the truth. Praise be Jesus Christ for opening up our eyes to understand his word, his power, and the beauty of each and every human person who we come into contact with, all that crosses our path. He watches over us. He loves us and wants us to do the same for each other every day of our lives.